You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for March 13th, 2020. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we've been social distancing since the 90s. It's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Happy Friday the 13th, Blue Gal.
Hey, happy Friday the 13th. Hey. We love all of you.
Yes.
And virtual hugs to everyone.
Yes.
I know that these are tough times. We're living through some hellish times these days.
We are.
And you said something to me today, Driftglass, that really hit my heart when you said, let's just all be good to one another as much as we can.
Well.
And then you had a caveat.
I did. Except for the assholes. Go ahead and bag on the assholes. Just go right ahead.
I said to Driftglass, you know, you can be an asshole on social media.
I know. I am. But this is a stance I choose to take. When I see injustice in the world, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
When someone is just being... having done this for a really long time, both of us having done this for podcasts for 10 years... blogging for 15, debating about politics since we were, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of understanding how politics works and having been to this rodeo many, many, many times. I don't know about you, but I'm going to give myself credit for being able to spot the sincere person with whom I have a principled disagreement.
Right.
And the asshole who just wants to throw acid in everyone's face. They sometimes use the same words, but they're very different in their intentions.
I have an example for you, Nick Searcy. I know he blocks you on Twitter, but boy, is he being a colossal asshole on Twitter today.
And it breaks my heart because he was on Justified.
Justified.
He's very good. He's very good on Justified. You know, if he could just be that guy. But he's over there with Patton Oswalt. And I'm like, and I believe Patton Oswalt was once asked about him and said, well, you know, we don't talk politics. In person, he's very sweet. I'm sure he is.
Well, on Twitter, he's not.
He's
very
a monster.
Sweet.
He's
he
a
wants everyone.
Monster.
He believes that Democrats are going to kill everybody.
Right. Right.
And he is. This is the thing. This is going on a lot in right-wing media, is that the left wants to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And
what else do they have?
I know. The sad part.
This is sort of the meta commentary that infuses many of our podcasts, many of our 537 episodes of this fine podcast, which is, please remember the only way you're allowed to be wrong on the right is you're not conservative enough.
Uh-huh.
You're never, I mean, unless you sort of get kicked out of the party or you have a violent puking reaction like a Bruce Bartlett and say, I can't anymore. I just can't. And you completely reverse yourself. Those are the rare one-off events. On the whole, one of the things that holds the conservative movement together and the Republican Party together is you're never allowed to be wrong about anything or admit you're wrong other than what about Barack Obama was worse and I wasn't conservative enough. I didn't hate liberals enough. We didn't own them hard enough. That, you were too nice, basically. You weren't a big enough asshole. And because, let's face it, as we've said a million times and we'll update it for the present circumstances, the average Republican would rather lick the bedpans in a coronavirus isolation ward that admit that they were wrong.
They certainly are willing to totally erase their past and rebrand themselves as anything rather than admit they're wrong. And we've seen that.
There's this article in the Atlantic today that's been going around called The Trump Presidency is Over by Peter Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
And the question has been asked by many people, why the hell does Peter Wiener have a column in the Atlantic, and why is he talking on this particular subject? Peter Wiener was Karl Rove's fucking deputy.
Yep.
Okay, he was one of the staunchest, most obnoxious defenders of the Iraq War. He got behind massive cuts to Social Security. He's a right wing evangelical asshole, and he was W's, as I recall, steady hand. He was a steady hand on the tiller. this guy. So why?
If you erase the byline on this article, mm-hmm. there's nothing in it that I disagree with.
Oh, there's a great deal I disagree with. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and
he doesn't. But his huge omission of forgetting,
right.
strategic forgettery,
yes.
that the reason we have Trump.
Yes.
Is that we allowed the Tea Party to rebrand the Republican Party.
Well,
yep.
And here we go. And why does this particular douchebag have a column in The Atlantic? Jeffrey Goldberg is the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic magazine. Yep. David Frum is the Atlantic senior editor, going back to March of 2014.
So the masthead tells you everything you need to know.
There continues to be a coalition of Bush regime dead-enders that have a stranglehold on the editorial pages of America's major news outlets. And so this asshole gets to have a feature article and gets to have it run up the flagpole and gets to talk about how, isn't it sad how Donald Trump is a disaster as a president?
I want to take this one level deeper, Drift Glass.
Sure. Take me deeper, baby. Wow. Wow, chicky. While maintaining a 3-foot distance, let's be very clear.
The reason we have Trump isn't just because we forgot the Bush administration.
No.
It's because the Republican establishment thought it would be perfectly okay if Jeb was the nominee.
Right. Right. Or Rubio. Yeah.
But Jeb especially was the front runner at the very beginning in 2015.
Sure.
Remember that?
I do.
And the reason he was the front runner was he was a Bush. And they forgot that the Republican base had already sacrificed a great deal of their own personal history to forget about Bush forget all the mistakes they'd made voting for a Bush.
That was the deal. The deal was
the deal.
We'll
right.
put on stupid hats and call ourselves a Tea Party, and you will never, ever, ever mention the name Bush ever again. And then you nominate someone else, and then we'll be cool with that. We don't ever, get rid of the policies. We never stop being Republican assholes in our soul. But we'll rebrand ourselves, 3 days a week if we have to.
And
they
broke the rule. They broke the pact that they had was
the strategic
Tea Party will get you off the hook.
Right.
And then, it is within memory that this was the problem they had in 2012 with, Romney's going to win in a landslide. The Overton window was so short between Romney's going to win in a landslide and Romney losing that the brain cells would actually recall, they just told us Romney was going to win 3 days ago. Right. They lied to us.
And that sets off this horrible cascade memory. Who is the asshole? Oh my God, it was Karl Rove. Where do I know that name? Oh my God, George Bush. And so it's like, I've agreed. I put all of the shitty, awful, racist, liberal baiting, fuck you, you cut and run surrender monkey rhetoric that I was thrilled to just strut around the street displaying during the Bush administration. We packed all that away and we sealed it in a big drum and we buried it in the ocean. We agreed never to talk about it again. And here you are with a can opener, opening that thing up, making me remember that I used to support George Bush and I stood by him and Karl Rove was my boy. Stop doing that. Stop kicking me in that one spot where we all agreed you wouldn't kick me anymore.
And our point is, as it always is, that the rebranding of the Republican Party after Trump is coming.
Yes.
And Tom Cotton went to New Hampshire this week, Drift Glass.
Yeah, Cotton goes to New Hampshire. not Cotton comes to Harlem. No. Cotton goes to New Hampshire. And just to finish up with this article. It sort of makes my point, which is if the Bush administration were truly repudiated, David Brooks wouldn't have a job. Brett Stevens wouldn't have a job.
True,
Michael Gerson wouldn't have a fucking job. Peter
Absolutely.
Wiener would have been run of a goddamn country. Max Boot would have been in hiding somewhere in Venezuela. Jeffrey Goldberg would shut his hole forever. David Frum would go back to fucking Canada. All these people would have vanished because they would have been so radioactive by their intimate relations, by their close spit swapping relation with Cheney and Bush and all the unmentionables. But everywhere you look, fucking Joe Scarborough still has his goddamn show on television. They keep cranking Hugh Hewitt out.
But is that why Bush and Cheney disappeared after their administration?
I think they
so that their policies and their party could survive this.
I think they were basically told, and because they're both politicians,
Right.
And they were within a hair's breadth of opening their holes and getting, you know, besides, Cheney wants his horrible, horrible daughter to be president.
Exactly.
Someday.
He wants her to be in leadership and so forth.
What's the price of that? Well, and plus Cheney was busy having his heart swapped out every three
months. Oh, I know.
So he was a little busy. But the whole predicate for pretending, for everyone agreeing that the Bush administration never happened, is violated every time you open up a newspaper and see, oh, that guy was a fucking Bush speechwriter. And he's writing about how horrible Trump is and how it's a complete surprise. Let's investigate that.
Isn't it the media's job to know the history and background of the people that they're listening to?
Oh, it's their job to hire people who are in the club.
Right.
And David Frum and Dan and Jeffrey Goldberg and Bill fucking Kristol and his stupid son-in-law and Peter Weiner are all in the club. So is the Trump presidency over? No. In fact, there's a non-trivial chance that Trump will be reelected, because by October, Donald Trump will be a hero for having personally slain the COVID virus, and it will all have been Barack Obama's fault, according to Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Hate Radio, Hugh Hewitt. And half of the editorial pages in this country are going to be talking about his bold leadership style and how he did this and how he did that, because all they ever fucking do is lie about the thing they did yesterday. That's the only thing that keeps them together. Continue lying about us. Because remember, you can never admit you were wrong. Peter Weiner can never stand up and say, I am personally responsible for how fucked up this country is.
Or even how fucked up my party is. I mean, that alone would be such a huge admission. They won't admit that.
And there's a few that do. And those few have my respect. Stuart Stevens.
Yeah.
The title of his upcoming book is called It Was All a Lie.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I ran campaigns for 30 years. I was the best of everybody. And I'm telling you, it's all a lie. Liberals were right about everything. But you can never ask that question, because the minute you do, the minute you entertain the theory that maybe, just maybe, the person sitting at that desk shouldn't be there, then you have to ask the question, well, are there a group of people out there who were right about everything and told us this was coming, and maybe we should hire those people to sit in those chairs? Then it gets really scary.
Because, what's your prediction about how many people are going to have Stuart Stevens on their TV shows to talk about it? Is it going to be like Ornstein and Mann, or is it going to be better than that?
No, it'll be a few. Now that there's podcasts, hey, Stuart Stevens, come on our podcast.
That would be great. Also, probably Lawrence O'Donnell will have him on.
Lawrence O'Donnell can come on our podcast too. That's okay.
Oh, would be fun. We'd love to have Lawrence O'Donnell.
You'll have twice the bitter Irish on the show. and who doesn't love that?
Hey, speaking of, let's pivot from bitter for just a minute.
One thing, one more Irish person to add to the list, Soledad O'Brien. We should add Soledad O'Brien. You should come on our show. Really, I'm serious.
Really, really come on our show. We love you, and you should come on our show.
And Melissa Harris-Perry has resurfaced to ask the musical question, why does Chuck Todd exist? Melissa Harris-Perry, if any of our listeners know anybody who knows anybody who knows anybody, we would love to have her on our podcast.
And she can vent to her heart's extent. However she wants to, we would love to do that.
Yes.
Driftglass, just stopping for a moment, again, virtually hugging everyone.
Yes.
And letting people know there are things you can do over the next couple of weeks while you're social distancing. Mm-hmm. In addition to catching up with episodes of the Professional Life Podcast.
Yeah.
I gave blood this week. If you want to talk about a sterilized environment where everything is super, super clean, that is. And it's kind of hard to social distance when someone's poking a wire into your vein, but I'm B negative, rare blood type, and they need it. And they call me every 53 days. Please, please, please come in. Mm-hmm. So I do. It's a way to make a difference. I highly recommend it. And postcards to voters is something you can do at home.
You can.
If you're listening to the podcast, then you have the internet and you can hook up with postcards to voters and do that. That is a really great thing to do.
Most campaigns now have the ability to phone bank remotely. So
here's a list.
Here's a cell phone. Go forth, my son. If you're trusted, if you're like that guy who lied, then don't be that guy.
But most
campaigns that have any legs on the ground at all, feet on the ground at all.
Yeah. Especially if you're trying to flip a seat in the House like we are.
Yes.
That's a good thing to do. And then get your taxes done early. Yes. Go ahead and do that. You know, there are things to do. I am also very proud of a group of high school students who received a $10 donation from me last summer for Donors Choose. And with that, and of course, it was matched by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, you know, me and Bill and Melinda, we're all working together to
all
make
together
schools
on this
better.
Thing. Yeah.
But this was one for our local high school where my kids go.
Yeah.
And I was able to help them purchase materials for the AP World History test.
Yes.
That the school did not have and did not have the funding for. Mm-hmm. And looking at the pictures of those kids, when I look at pictures of kids that I help on Donors Choose, first of all, usually I'm choosing students that are on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
You can almost actually on Donors Choose, you can do searches for the kind of students you want to help, the kind of school you want to help, if you want to help locally, if you want to help special needs kids, or you want to help kids who need toothbrushes and washcloths. You know, you can go that direction as well. Or just average school supplies. You can give school supplies that teachers have requested. But this was AP World History, local school. And I got pictures back, and boy, did it remind me of my son's high school classmates. The nerdy spectrum kids doing AP World History was
our Autism touching. Basement Club.
Yeah, the Autism Basement Club, the Spectrum Basement
that
Club.
That we used to have in our basement, yeah.
They were gaming and pizza every Friday night. Literally every Friday night for like 2 years. We were
that house.
The boys over. We were that over, house.
Stable and grown. And all of them graduated high school.
All of them graduated high school.
All of them are doing well, then better than you would expect, given kind of the fluid nature of their home life in some cases and so forth. And
well, and one of them's going to community college now, which is a big plus. Yay team. Our son's the only one going to 4-year college right now, but that's sort of to be expected. We're still rooting for all four of them to have great lives ahead. And so, yeah, anyway, it makes you feel good. Check out Donors Choose, check out other charities that you can help out, and of course support your local podcast. We so appreciate that.
We do. We're sorry we had to cancel our national tour.
Coachella. We're not going to Coachella.
No, we're not going to Funk's Grove. We might go to Effingham, but not Funk's
Effingham.
Grove. That's our national tour.
There is a city in Illinois called Effingham, by the way.
And it's a joke because just swear. Just you don't edge up to it. If you're going to say fucking, just say fucking. Effingham.
Effingham.
We picture a lot of timid Methodist pioneers going, I don't want to say it, but I want to say it. You know what I mean? And they named their town that.
Effingham.
But there, and one of the things that has come up now that we're sort of, you know, at the very beginning of a very long period of plague and unpleasantness and shutdowns and disruptions, all of which are going to happen, which is why we have to be very kind to each other. Is locally, we've had the president of the Sangamon County Board do a press conference yesterday. Everybody's doing a press conference. The governor, mayor of Chicago, our mayor had to be pressured to shut down the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Well, he's so timid.
It's inertia.
He doesn't do anything
I'd rather not make any decisions at all.
Chamber
of Commerce.
He should be head of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
I like him personally, but he's not.
He should be somewhere counting money. That's about
he's
all
he's not
he
a bold leader.
No. But the one of the questions that kept coming up, well, there were two questions. One was, so what happens if we do something and it's over 250 people? And that's when the smart press conference person, the guy who's runs the county board, basically said, what do you say, sheriff? And the sheriff says, I'll come shut you down. Oh, okay.
Good.
Well, there you
good.
Go. But the other big question was, why aren't you shutting the schools down? And it's a very good question. And the answer is probably they will. But there's an enormous amount of logistics attached to schools, like what happens to working parents who can't afford to have kids at home because they're at work all day. What do you do about the many of the 50-60% of students who get their one meal a day guaranteed at school? What do you do about that? There's a lot that
goes in Illinois. It's two because they get free breakfast as well.
That's
so
right.
So
how do you replace that? And one of the things you personally, people out there can do is you can give to your local food bank. You can make sure your local food, and they take cash. Let's give them, just give them money. I mean, cans are great. That's all well and good, but food banks need cash. Because there's going to be a large number of hungry kids who are going to be with nothing to do for at least a few weeks, looking for activities that are safe and not plague vectory, and food, meals. And that is something you can do in your own community right now. That's, that will lift the burden off of working parents who suddenly have to figure out how to draw a paycheck at the same time that they have to take care of kids they weren't planning on taking care of. Plenty to do, plenty for everyone to do. And of course, yes, support your local podcast, because, you know, this is, there was a strange conversation that I was watching online on social media, but couldn't participate in, because it was like, well, what about our advertisers? What happens to them when they shut down? What happens when they're I'm like, okay, we have no advertisers. They're all fake. So that's not really a problem for us. We don't have any national tour planned. Really not. That's not a problem for us. Our staff are basically three cats that sit in the window and look at birds all day. So finding a way for them to work at home or telecommute is not really an issue for us.
They work at home anyway.
And it's not that we're making light of larger organizations that have real logistical problems and real cash flow problems now. It's that this weird moment where being kind of a mom and pop operation in a cornfield is working kind of for us. So we're just going to keep coming back to you every week through this whole thing, talking to you about what's going on here and letting you know what we think about stuff. For example, I am looking forward to the debates this Sunday.
You are?
I am.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm absolutely looking forward to them. Two people, no audience. It kind of feels like I got my wish, my bring back the League of Women Voters debate wish in the worst in the worst way possible. Like if you ever saw on PBS, The Lathe of Heaven, which is where our character has what are called effective dreams. Let's eliminate the population problem. So he dreams of a plague that kills a quarter of the earth.
Oh Lord.
Well, let's bring everyone together. So he dreams of an alien invasion that brings everyone together. So I really hope this COVID thing isn't on me, that my wish for a two-person calm debate moderated by normal people with no audience. It's like, okay, here's how to ensure that. A global pandemic. That'll do it. So I apologize. If that was me, I'm sorry. But I'm looking forward to the two remaining viable candidates for the Democratic nomination.
Actually calmly discussing issues would be nice. And I hope it doesn't turn into personal attacks, because that's going to really anger me.
Sitting at a table debating each other over issues. I would love for that to be true. And the whoever rises to – I think they both will, frankly. But I want to see Democrats rise to meet the moment in the way that Trump is completely failing in every respect to be anything other than a walking
vest. And they already did. Both Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden gave speeches on Thursday that were
great.
So cogent.
Were great. And clear. And for
they
a minute
they understand. We have things we have to do, and we're going to have to do them. So
I remember,
here's how government solves problems.
I remember capable leadership. I vividly remember capable leadership.
Listening to both of them, I swear, I listened to both of them. I'm like, oh, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
To have somebody who understands that government has, you know, Legos that move, and you have to kind of coordinate them so they're all pointing in the same direction toward a goal, and then we set that goal and we figure out how it works, and then we reset the goal based on whether the results happen. And it's just like, oh, this is so logical and so predictable, and here's how we do these things. And I was so grateful for Katie Porter this week.
Oh God, yeah.
Who pointing out there's existing law and existing authority for you to do X, Y, and Z. Why don't you just do it?
Yes.
And she wouldn't let it go until he said yes.
Yes.
And that is heroic of her to do
gentlemen,
that.
That is not how you ask for a date. Okay. No. Bad man. Bad. But if you have the head of an agency trying to weasel out of his or her responsibility in front of you under oath, this is how you go in at them. You go in them hard, and you do not let up until they give you a straight answer. Either yes, which he did in this case, excellent. And then she says, okay, great. Everyone listen to that. Everyone in the country hear this. You can go.
Please understand, you will not be responsible for a $3,100 medical bill if you think you are a carrier of this virus.
Right.
That's
you get
it.
To go in and get this for free, period.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And that is how government's supposed to work. You shouldn't have to pry it out of their hands.
You shouldn't have to do that. But understandable with this president, you know, he could be fired tomorrow for saying that to her.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And what's going on in our house is Junior Dude is still at college.
Yes.
His spring break was supposed to start next Saturday, but it's starting this Saturday. And they're going to have a 2-week spring break at Augustana College. And then they'll decide. He is supposed to bring home with him all of his schoolwork, his computer, and any materials he might need if they go to online classes. He is not supposed to pack up his dorm room and take everything home.
Right.
So that's sort of how they're handling it.
So I'm gearing up for a laundry day. Basically.
Oh, my God. Poor Driftglass.
Yeah.
Driftglass does the laundry. I'm not real good on stairs. And the laundry's in the basement. So he got that job.
Yeah.
We divide up things sort of. You do handle an awful lot of the housework. I appreciate that.
Well, but it's kind of funny because I can plan for a sudden exponential increase in stuff in our house. I can see it coming. Weeks notice. I know what's coming. Okay.
Yes,
laundry detergent,
right.
Plenty of that. Right, yeah. I'm good. I'm totally good. I'm ready. Bring it on.
Yes.
It doesn't require, you know, you don't have to be
And in particular, youngest child has this habit of hoarding dirty clothes and all of a sudden deciding it's too much and bringing it all down at once. And so you'll have all cut up with the laundry and, there's 30 pounds of underwear in the laundry basket.
The laundry fairy has come. That's great. the girl goes through more costume changes than Cher.
Well, she's 16.
But here's the thing. This is the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is true of most of you in your household. You plan for shit.
Yeah.
Right. This is coming and this is going to happen. So we're going to do this now to get ready for that later. That basic understanding of linear time and causality is something that Republicans are incapable of doing. They just can't do it. They won't do it. And so Donald Trump this week, we learned, has been keeping the numbers artificially low.
Yeah.
Or tried to for reasons that involve his reelection. He didn't want to look bad, so he's been lying and lying and getting people killed. Him and Fox News are going to cost people lives.
Absolutely.
And that is a capital offense. That is fucking treason. And Rupert Murdoch and Fox News are standing right behind him, putting lunatics on the air, spreading the most dangerous kind of conspiracies, the kind that actually cause this plague to spread further and faster.
Well, and with a healthy, unhealthy dose of racism mixed in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is an Asian invasion. This is, you know, a war virus being unleashed on Donald Trump personally, et cetera, et cetera. And so, Jerry Falwell Jr. was on this morning doing the same thing. Nick Searcy's on Twitter doing the same
North Korean
thing.
It was a North Korean virus weaponized.
Right.
It was
weaponized.
So,
yeah.
Boys and girls, the death panels have finally arrived, and surprise, surprise, it's the Republican Party.
It's the Republican Party. What else do we have to talk about, Driftglass?
Well, it's been a weird week of plague-related news, and don't listen to any podcast or anyone like us who records anything to get up-to-the-minute anything, because an hour from now, everything could change. We're recording this on Friday. We do try to do it the last possible minute every week so that we're most current.
But, and we're doing it before Donald Trump's Rose Garden, whatever that
actually,
he's going to do this afternoon.
Looking over my shoulder, literally during it. So,
Who
knows?
Well, I'm not watching. So,
I did watch portions of the National Address, which featured a drugged up Donald Trump, doped to the eyeballs, propped in front of a camera. If you've ever seen Patterns of Force, Star Trek episode with John Gill as the Führer. He's that guy.
I've got to go watch that one again because that it doesn't come spring to mind immediately.
It's one of those ones where we landed on a planet and it's Nazi Germany, and how the hell did that happen? These were just two planets that didn't like each other. Now one planet is literally has swastikas and SS and all the trappings of fascism, and they're about to attack the other planet, and the Führer is like a history teacher named John Gill, who came and thought he could do the fascism thing without the Nazi part. You know, he could Germany was beaten and destroyed, and he thought he could get this planet that was beaten on its knees back up and running without all the nastiness. And of course, you can't. But yeah. John Gill is doped out of his mind and propped up in front of a camera or a radio microphone and gives this address. And there's this long interaction because Kirk knew him back at the Academy. He's like, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Is he drugged? Is he comatose? Nothing he says makes any sense. These are just random strings of words he's saying. There's no logic to it. Like, yep, that was Donald Trump. Just bug-eyed, sniffling, clearly barely literate, squinting at this shit, unable to read it, didn't want to be there, didn't want to say this stuff, scared out of his mind, and you can watch in real time as the stock market just threw itself off a cliff as he was talking.
Mm-hmm.
It was a direct one-to-one relation to this monster opening his fucking mouth and outpours Stephen Miller's racist bile.
Exactly.
And a bunch
of lies.
We're
going to build a wall to prevent us from the coronavirus with Europe.
And a bunch
but
of
lies. Not anywhere where my golf courses are.
Right.
Right.
And lies and by omission and commission that the White House itself had to walk back an hour later. Oh, no. See, what I meant to say was this other thing. And no, I do it. And it's like, dude,
he was ad-libbing. Yes.
No, he wasn't. That's the problem.
He did ad-lib during the speech. Yeah. Apparently he did. Yes.
But this was John Kennedy talking to the nation about the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is serious shit. This is behind the Resolute desk in the office reading from a script that presumably has been vetted to death because millions of people are going to watch this and take you deadly serious, even if they think you're a joke. And it turns out, your presentation was drug-addled. You looked terrifying. You couldn't fucking read, and you lied. And you lied, and you racist asshole. You used this moment to be your worst possible self. And that is what scared the hell out of people. It wasn't that we have a virus, and it's pretty bad. It's going to get worse. It was that, oh, my God, the leader of our country is every bit as fucking awful and cannot control himself. And cannot tell the truth. Put a nuke to his head. He cannot fucking tell the truth for 5 minutes at a stretch. This guy's in charge. Holy shit. And all the agencies that we depend on that you shouldn't have to think about. I shouldn't have to think about the CDC. I really shouldn't.
Right. No.
But
do their job. Right.
We hollowed that out. We got rid of those people. And we're using the new Medicaid director to make sure Medicaid isn't used to combat this. And you were not going to allow just everything you could do, not just to fuck it up, but to actively sabotage your own country because you're a vain, petty thug who can't stand the thought of people not applauding him and cheering for him. Every speech by every cabinet member has been begins and ends now with praise for the dear leader.
Yep.
And
there are some people who will not go on television, but go on a radio podcast type thing to tell the truth, because if they go on television, Trump will see it.
He'll scream at it and he'll fire them.
Yeah.
And as a separate but not separate component of this, Fox News, as you mentioned, with Jerry Falwell Jr. and the rest of them, is on some kind of weird mission to make sure as many of its viewers get as sick as possible and die as soon as possible. That's the only explanation I have. And by the way, in completely unrelated news, Fox has announced it's opening its new Soylent Green Snack Crack Factory in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. So just neither here nor there. But, you know, they're moving a lot of their business over there.
Folks.
Yeah.
They are. The disinformation is constant. Mm-hmm. And I have been grateful to see on CNN and MSNBC in the past 48 hours, a switch. Some switch has gone off, where both of them at the same time had a Q&A where people could call in or write in and say, you know, here's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. Can I go to this family dinner? Can I do the, you know, these kind of questions are really important. And when when someone upstairs in those two networks realized we're not going to get any accurate information from the White House or from the CDC or from anybody, we have to start having experts on and we have to start calming the waters of the American public because that's our job.
And that's what you just said there.
Yep.
All it took was the threat of an apocalypse to finally force the news media to do its job, to
decide that we're going to talk about truth and not just cover lies as another opinion, an alternative fact, or it was reported, or he did say that it is inaccurate. And no, we can't do that in this case.
Donald Trump disputes that the sky is blue.
Right.
Who really knows?
Who really knows? Yeah.
Well, and
let's hope this, you know, there have been delays in primaries in,
Louisiana
and Georgia. Uh-huh. Now, the Georgia is not a presidential primary. It's a judge election, I believe. But they've also delayed the mayoral elections in Great Britain for a year over this. Let's hope we move to voting by mail universally across the country. And that's it.
Well, somehow we managed a presidential election during the middle of the American Civil War.
Yeah.
Technology exists.
That was only white men voting,
The technology exists to make it possible for people to vote in a way that doesn't involve walking into a small, cramped space full of sweaty people. There is stuff. I'm sure once they get those telegraph lines.
I'm serious, Jeff Glass. If we went back to only white men can vote, the Republican Party would have no problem with voter suppression. Just stop it.
No, it would be easy because they'd win forever. Speaking as a white male, I just, I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize. And here's the thing. At state and local governments, the governor of our state had a very thoroughgoing press conference just a couple days ago, I think. The mayor of the city of Chicago had a very thoroughgoing press conference. As we said, Sangamon County, the county where we live, it was funny because they were streaming it live. So it was supposed to start at 4, didn't start till like 4:30. So you had a bunch of people sitting in a meeting room just sort of bullshitting. And then one of them realized, oh my God, the camera's on. Oh no, everything's fine. We're not all going to die or anything. Remember what I just said about that? But it was like, even at that level, even at the county level, it was conducted professionally.
John Oliver had this thing on last Sunday about sheriffs.
Yeah.
And electing your sheriff and make sure you don't elect a total racist and make sure you know who your sheriff is, because they have a lot of power that you might not be aware of. And the county is in charge of the public health for Sangamon County. That's who runs the public health center, is the county, Sangamon County. So the sheriff saying, look, if you decide to hold a thing where there's 300 people in a auditorium, the sheriff's going to come in with the fire department and the police department helping out and shut it down. Yeah. That's just competence.
They had the public health, public health people. They had doctors. They had cops. Yeah. They had all the people you need to have.
Public health people are county employees. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
And so, again, let us remind you all that we are now in the 40th year of the Reagan anti-government revolution. So yes, how you like it so far? Yeah. And I did want to mention, if you want a short lesson in how a disease vector works in the real world, just watch how quickly every fucking wingnut in Christendom simultaneously glommed onto the debunked, but what about a bomb and swine flu, huh? I've heard that more times in the last 2 days than I've heard it ever. And it was based on a Facebook post that has been debunked over and over and over again. But I heard Donald Trump repeating it over and over again. Half the shitheads on Facebook, it's all over Twitter, because those are the that's where this petri dish is, where these things get stirred up. But it went from nobody remembered anything about it to, oh yeah, we can blame the black guy for being even worse than we are.
Right.
Look that up. And that went viral, literally viral, like overnight. That's how brain disease spreads in the Republican Party. And it doesn't matter once the beast is out of the barn, it doesn't matter how many times you debunk it, how many times you kicked it. Because remember, you can never admit you're wrong. You can never admit that the thing that I just said to own the libs is completely fucking wrong. So I need to change the subject or mute you or something, or tell the next lie, which is why the Trump presidency is not over. Because cause of it is not over. The cause, the disease itself, the Republican Party is the disease. Donald Trump is a presenting symptom of that disease. The next time around, it'll be fucking Tom Cotton. It'll be 10
Tom
times
Tom Cotton, real. And you've called it. You absolutely called it. Because Tom Cotton's getting ready. And Tom they're Cotton, figuring out at Fox News how to rebrand this shit pile of a political party. Yeah. so that people can keep watching their stupid shit.
And mark my words, Bill Kristol will find nice things to say about Tom Cotton.
Absolutely.
And David Frum will write paeans to Tom Cotton. And David Brooks has already said.
David Brooks, absolutely.
Back in 2014, the Republican Party is, don't worry, we're over our Sarah Palin stuff. Now we're on to the normal Tom Cotton Republican Party.
Right, Tom Cotton, intellectual. There mm-hmm. you go. Yeah, he's a traitor. He signed the 44 signature letter to Iran saying, don't make a deal with Barack Obama because we're going to undo it.
Now you want to talk
the foreign policy of a sitting president. Go figure.
You wanted to talk a little bit about the Medicare for all, the fiscal argument versus the moral argument. Is that right?
Right. Well, a couple things. First of all, Susan Collins, we see you.
We see you, Susan Collins.
That's the other thing I did was give $2 each to two Senate candidates. I did not give to Susan Collins' opponent this time. I have given to her before, but I did give to Jamie Harrison and I did give to Amy McGrath this week. $2, because that's what I could afford. It's another way you can make a difference. Get Mitch McConnell out of the Senate, please.
Please.
All of these Republicans have got to go. They have allowed this to happen. What is happening this week, they have allowed to happen. They had an opportunity and they blew it. And they, as someone on Twitter said, they need to go with prejudice. We need to kick them out with prejudice. But I have been thinking a lot about Medicare for all this week. It is the one thing that's sort of boiling in the Democratic Party, although, you know, Bernie has come such a long way with this issue, for which I'm very grateful. And I had asked a question on Twitter about M4A because I've read the bill. And, you know, the bill, I've said many times on this podcast, the bill phases in Medicare for all over 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen now.
No.
It's not an immediate fix. The bill, as Bernie Sanders introduced it, is a phase-in. And so I had a couple of concerns about it. One is looking at the perpetual underfunding of British healthcare, the National Health Service in Britain, and seeing how perpetually underfunded it is. And concern that that might happen here. And also I have a real concern about how corporations contribute to the cost of this. Because if you just put a tax on corporations to cover M4A, they're going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of confidence in the power of corporations to engage in tax avoidance. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked about this on Twitter, and I was so grateful someone got back to me and said, well, you got to remember that the National Health Service in Britain is actually nationalized healthcare. In other words, the government owns the hospitals. The government owns the medical facilities. That what we're talking about here with Medicare for All is actually insurance and having a nationalization of insurance, not a nationalization of the healthcare industry.
The means of production, right?
The means of production. It's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting to talk to people about or get that piece of information that I hadn't thought about. And then as I've been thinking about it in terms of Joe Biden's response to, you know, how do we pay for it and so forth, his response has been, you know, we don't need to go this fully expensive proposition. There are ways to get there without doing that. It occurred to me if I was working for Joe Biden, which is never going to happen, that he really needs to snap out of this cost thing. First of all, the Fed just tossed $1.5 trillion at Wall Street yesterday. And everyone said, you know, how are you going to pay for it is out the window.
Yeah, no more. Well, now, and that depends. Yeah. That really does depend on how Katie Porter, the Democratic Party, chooses to be in 2021 and 2022.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be the minute a Democrat gets in the White House, whoever it may be,
mm-hmm.
And starts saying, nope, we're going to do some shit. We're going to pay for some shit. We're going to start doing other things. And Chuck Todd, you know, loses what's left of his hair.
Right.
And runs around with his shorts on fire screaming about how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? I thought we
what
had a deficit.
What about the deficit? Yes. Right.
And at that moment, that's the moment.
That's your opportunity to say fuck you.
When you run at him with a sword in both hands and kill him verbally.
Verbally, yes.
You have to marshal your people and put them on the Sunday shows and put them in mm-hmm. the op-ed pages saying,
yes, right.
anyone who sat on their asses in the last 4 years and let this
when Mexico
lunatic,
was going to pay for the wall
and
right.
let this lunatic just do whatever they wanted, and you just shrug your shoulders and say, what are you going to do? That's just Trump. And his voters will come to our homes and poop in our ears if we take him on. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to normalize everything. We're going to say it's both sides. We're going to keep playing this stupid fucking game. Every one of you who did that for the last 4 years, you have
had to shut up.
your White House, we're going to start doing press conferences. Your press pass is now canceled. Right. You're not a journalist. You're a fucking stooge. And we're not putting stooges in these seats anymore. I will answer any reasonable question, but any question about pay-fors, you need to shut up for the next 8 years. Yep. And then I will answer all your questions. But I'm not answering a goddamn word about how anything's going to get paid for, because
my answer is Mexico's going to pay for it. And right. you're going to take that and eat it
right.
the way you ate it for Trump.
And every
and
one
smile.
Of my people is going to give you right. the same goddamn answer. And right. Maggie Haberman, you can call them up at 2 a.m. and hope to leak something. Everyone in my staff has been instructed that any reporter asks how anything's going to get paid for, from bike lanes on the White House lawn to Medicare for all, the answer is Mexico will pay for it.
Yes. Right. Right.
Good. Now shut up. Next question. Right. Who's going to pay for climate change? Okay.
Mexico.
Sergeant of the Arms, take his ass out of here.
Yep. I want him out of here. Yep.
Ms. Ty, it really is. If we can muster the guts to treat the media as brutally as the right treats the media
Donald
every
Trump
day.
Did. Yes.
As
right.
kick. Because look, I would like a stand-up, aggressive, fact-driven, passionate journalism at the heart of my country. I would love that. We
right.
don't
and
have that.
I don't mind
that.
Being challenged. I don't mind if the policies are challenged. But they're not going to be challenged with, well, how are you going to pay for a deficit, when you didn't give a shit about that.
Right. And
whenever it's a Republican enough, whenever it's an endless war,
right.
whenever it's the banks, whenever it's anything that will line the pockets of your bosses upstairs, you're happy to let it go.
And so
enough.
What – as the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the major media has taught us, if we just are willing to learn the lesson, they yeah. will bend in the direction of whoever beats them hardest.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
our
they
job
are lapdogs to power, and they will do it. Yep.
So our job is to make them more miserable and more terrified professionally than the right. That's our job, because
right.
that's the only thing they respond to. So let's, yep. since we are on the side of the angels, let's use that knowledge to our advantage and force yep. them to be better people by reporting
yep.
on the facts.
Yep.
And the way you do
yep.
that is, day one, you start stomping on them.
Yep.
And you don't stop until they say, I give. You're right.
Yeah.
I was
because we're going to be ready for the next pandemic. Fuck you. Next
right.
question.
Yes.
Yep. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my advice to Joe Biden is to understand one. The argument that Joe Biden has made from the beginning of his campaign is that we need to return to a moral presidency.
Right.
And he has that mantle that he's putting on to mm-hmm. say, you know, we need to get back to good man in government. That's the point.
Yes.
I'm a good man. That's his argument.
And you, listener, may mm-hmm. hate Joe Biden for all I know.
Right.
But
right.
that is the argument he and his campaign are making.
Right. And I could argue in the opposite direction
right.
if I chose to do so. That's not my point. So
this
I'm going to move
campaign
on.
This is about campaign strategy.
Right. But Joe Biden is making a mistake if he's going to do that and then take the question of Medicare for all and make it a fiscal argument rather
right.
than a moral argument.
That's
because
exactly right.
Medicare for all is a moral argument, period. And the reason that so many people in the Democratic Party, it polls, you know, 70-80%, whatever,
yeah. Yeah.
in the Democratic Party is, it is not a fiscal argument, it is a moral argument. And so if I were Joe Biden, I would be on Sunday night adopting the language that Bernie Sanders adopts as well, and agreeing with Bernie Sanders as much as possible Sunday night to say, yes, we have a moral obligation to understand that healthcare is a human right. And it's a question of how we get there. I also think he bungled a little bit. The answer from Lawrence O'Donnell about,
yes.
you know, would you veto it?
Right.
Which is not a, all he needed to say was, if it's good enough for Nancy Pelosi and right. a Democratic Senate, it's good enough right. for me. I'll sign any health care right. bill they put in front of me.
Or if you're
end of story,
if you're more verbose like me,
yeah,
I would have answered, I would love to live in the alternate universe where that actually happens, Lawrence. That'd be great. But that is, I don't know what you're smoking, but pass some over to me.
Yeah, right.
But I live in this universe where Mitch McConnell is in charge of the Senate.
Yeah, but I don't like introducing the concept of failure in a campaign because
I
think that's the problem. We need to have hope and change and so forth. That's what wins elections. So say whatever is good enough, again, whatever is good enough for Nancy Pelosi, the squad, and the Democrat and a Democratic Senate to put on my desk regarding health care, I will sign. And I'm happy to work with them to make that bill the best it can be. Uh-huh. And if Bernie wants to put his bill up against the, all of the other ideas that the Democratic Party will have on healthcare once we have those three branches of government, let's go for it.
Yeah.
But he does need to start with the moral argument of, yes, Bernie, healthcare is a human right, and we need to get there as quickly as we can. And then point out, your bill takes 4 to 5 years to get there.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's see. And maybe as you and I have discussed, let's talk about the Warren plan. Everything should be the Warren plan, right?
This is like the Marshall plan. Like
we're going to do plan. As much as we can on day one. We're going to do as much as we can on month three. We're going to do as much as we can by the 6 months with the understanding that we may only have 15 months to get anything done because in the midterms, we may lose the House. Who knows? You know, we did in 2010. We lost the House over healthcare. Hopefully the tide has turned and people realize who wants healthcare for everybody and who doesn't.
Yeah.
But I don't put it past Fox News to terrify the shit out of everybody.
Right.
With socialism, 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 you know.
Well, and let's, I mean, if they could have a debate over just this one topic without the pay-fors. I mean, the pay-fors are important, but the moral argument is, look, we're both up here arguing that everyone should have healthcare. We're we're disagreeing over the means to get there and the efficacy and what you trade off. If you swing for the fences and don't defend what you already have and you don't hit it out of the park, then you lose everything. That's what scares me. Right now, the Trump administration, while we're in the middle of a pandemic, is arguing to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah,
they're in court right now trying to get rid of your health insurance, trying to turn the clock back on a system that's shitty at best.
Well, and I think we all learned something from the Obamacare debacle, quote unquote, which is what Elizabeth Warren said. You have to give people something immediately.
Yes.
You have to. You cannot wait 2 years to implement something because that is the vacuum through which lies fall. So, for instance, if we had to do it all over again, 2020 hindsight, we definitely would have given 26-year-olds access to their parents' insurance on day one.
Day one.
Right?
Day one.
That's those kind of things where you actually give people an immediate buy-in to your program and give them a little hope and a little chance to say, oh, wait, this is a good thing. Maybe we'll keep this, you know? That works.
Well, I think they were planning on that. I will just tell my story once again for the people who have never heard it before. The Obama administration, before they were the Obama administration, they were doing citizen discussion groups, platform groups. And I went to the one on energy. It was in Evanston. But the guy who ran it was a doctor who helped Obama and Kennedy work on the healthcare plan.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, don't worry. Healthcare, it's a turnkey operation. We have all the details worked out. Everything's cool. Kennedy and Obama and a bunch of experts have worked out how this is going to work.
All in agreement. Boom. Right. There's an agreement.
First,
right.
We've got the medical community on board. We have all the people who kneecapped Hillary care and Clinton care. We've got them all sort of like on board. So this is going to fly through. Don't worry about it. And then we can move on to the next item. That's really how they thought this was going to happen. We're going to go in. Everyone agrees healthcare is broken. Everyone agrees it needs to be fixed. We're going to give Republicans 70% of what they want anyway. And we're all going to agree. We're going to get a big win on the board. We're going to move forward. They never anticipated that their own party, that Joe Lieberman would knife them in the fucking back.
Right.
They never anticipated that every single Republican would absolutely refuse to do anything, would rather see Americans die in large numbers than lift a fucking finger to help the black guy.
Well, they didn't anticipate the Tea Party either. They didn't anticipate that there would be a well-financed group group of Glenn Beck fans.
Right.
Who were going to upend. And then a totally complicit mainstream media that saw this shiny thing called the Tea Party and pretended that it wasn't Republican voters.
Well, and this is really what haunts our memory. It's not that we, you and I, do not want Medicare for all. It's that we know exactly how absolutely ruthless Republicans are when it comes to destroying everything you love and are willing to kill Americans.
And how much money they're willing, how much they're willing to spend to lie to sell lies. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not,
we got to move on. You know, we're at 55 minutes.
Holy shit. yeah.
I'm going to have you read the news roundup from beginning to end.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And then I'll do the outro.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's do Corona stuff. Today, Trump continues to double down on his debunked bullshit that somehow Obama's to blame for everything. According to Politico, Donald Trump's new European travel restrictions have a very convenient side effect. They exempt nations where three Trump-owned golf courses are located. An ally of Mitch McConnell says the Senate will not take up the House's coronavirus bill until after the recess. They'll act when they come back. This is just gross negligence. This is criminal negligence on the part of Mitch McConnell.
And let me say that they have been shamed into doing it after a three-day recess instead of the three-day recess plus a 10-day recess.
Right.
But 3 days when the level of infection reported is doubling every day is unbelievable.
Yep. The Trump administration is blocking states from using Medicaid to expand medical services as part of their response to the pandemic. The U.S., by the way, did not coordinate or notify the European Union before Trump announced the travel restrictions.
And American citizens paid $20,000 to get home by Friday.
Yeah. And then we're told, oh, no, never mind. We didn't
Never mind.
Yeah. Whoops. Sorry. Yeah. Donald Trump attacked Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi just hours after calling on lawmakers to put politics aside and stop the partisanship because, you know, he's a pathological liar. The S&P 500 and the Dow both had their worst day since 1987. NASDAQ and the S&P 500 joined the Dow in the bear market territory, a decline of 20%. Trading halted twice. That automatic trigger that stops market trading has happened three times in the last quarter century, twice or in the last week. That's how bad things have gotten. Since mid-January, the White House has ordered all meetings discussing the coronavirus to be classified. The move restricts staffers, federal health officials, and government experts without security clearance from participating in discussions. They wanted to keep this secret, like, you know, Ukraine was secret because it was embarrassing. So let's not talk about it and maybe it'll go away. The way they temporarily solved the problem of a Wall Street crash, we mentioned, was by conjuring $1.5 trillion out of thin air and handing it over to Wall Street, which is great. That's cool. If they can do that, they can certainly pay for Medicare for all. All Broadway theaters in New York are closed. France has closed all schools and universities. Disneyland is closed until the end of the month, and the NHL has suspended its season. There's a million other things that are being closed. This is not by any means a comprehensive list. It's just to give you an idea that this is global, it's serious, and you should take it seriously. I'm sure you are, because you're listening to this podcast, so you're a serious person.
That's right. Hey, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Banshee. Banshee is a beautiful kitty. We just love him. His owner wants us to know that he sings the freshly poured jingle even when he's pouring his own coffee. And I had never thought of that. Yeah. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured coffee. What a great idea.
Damn.
You know, we might expand the freshly poured world into freshly poured coffee would be great.
We're getting people on Twitter saying, oh, yeah, I sing that all the time. And my daughter looks
at me. I sing that all the time to my cat.
And my daughter's like, what's wrong with you? Like, oh, my God, we done something awful, Blue Guy. I have a really bad feeling that we'll go down in history. That's it. That'll be what we remember. That's it.
People are going to remember that decades from now.
Remember that freshly poured podcast? It was great. It's about cats. And about cat food. It's wonderful.
And Banshee's owner also wanted us to know, we hate to say we are podcast deadbeats. We would love to donate every month, but we live on wind pudding and air sauce.
Mm-hmm.
We totally understand that.
Hey, ketchup packets and hot water.
Why do they call it a fixed income when it is always broken? That's a great line.
Do we feel you? We feel you
for
sure.
We feel you. We understand. But we're so grateful that you sent us Banshee. He's a beautiful kitty, and he will be at our Facebook page and website this week. We so appreciate you. Thank you very much. Freshly Poured Cat Food is our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cat or dog or other animal will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the only food they eat is freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured.
Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured.
Freshly poured cat food, available in box, bag, or can. It won't be ignored if it's freshly poured.
And you can visit Banshee at our Facebook page and website. And you can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that you can write us at any of our addresses, but we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service Go Postal Unions letter on the air unless you say otherwise. They will be delivering mail through the coronavirus.
Yes, they will.
So we are certainly in love with them.
Neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor dark of night.
Or coronavirus, yeah. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, and we mean that, if you can afford it, if you have bought a latte in the past month, please buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job and a labor of love. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details, both our PayPal and postal address information, as well as merch. It is time to get your Both Sides Don't Bumper sticker, folks. It's all there at proleftpod.com.
It's all there.
And our wonderful angel nerd, Tammy, has rallied and gotten all of our podcasts up on YouTube. We're caught
she's
up.
She's amazing. She's just amazing.
Yep. And she, you know, she had to move. She did all kinds of stuff and she's had a life and so forth. And in spite of everything, she came back and got everything caught up for us. And we love her. Thank you so much, Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And please share our show on social media. And thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, now that March Madness is canceled, the Internet Kitties are looking forward to a month of exciting curling and caber-tossing action on sports TV.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2019-2020, DGBG Productions.